In the early 80s, there was an increasing pressure from the institutions for lower commissions on the gilt-edged in the gilt-edged market, particularly. At that time, the two leading gilt-edged firms of jobbers, Aykroyd and Wed, were making enormous profits from gilts. The lower commissions, though, the brokers were obviously reluctant to introduce this. This, I think, was the main reason why, well, one of the main things of Big Bang. But I didn't feel any particular pressure myself, and I think the ending of the single capacity system perhaps was the wrong thing to do. Certainly, the advent of Big Bang was wrong to do it all at once. It should have been done on a more piecemeal, bit by bit basis. But I didn't feel any particular personal pressures, really, no.
Yes. Well, now that we've got to 1986, how would you contrast Bisgood Bishop at that time, mid-80s, with the firm that you'd joined
Right.
in the early 60s?
I don't know. I someone told me once there were 200 firms of jobbers in 1960. I joined in 63, as you know. By the sort of mid-80s, the league, if you like, was set up of five major firms, of which we were the fifth. There were two large ones and three sort of medium-sized firms. And after the top five, there were about 10 other firms, quite small. So we obviously had grown into an established medium-sized firm.
Were you a bigger firm? Were there more staff? Was there more equipment in the office?
There was more staff, more dealers. We covered a wider range of stocks. I think the staff at one stage had been up to about 130, somewhere in that region. I'm not sure of exact numbers. But compared to a lot of firms who were still run on a not on a shoestring, but obviously there was increasing pressure on the smaller firms, but some of them still only had a handful of dealers on the floor, whereas we had, it could be up to a staff of, say, 40 or 50 on the floor of the stock exchange.
How would you contrast the stock exchange itself in the mid-80s to the stock exchange that you'd first walked into as a blue button in 1964?
It had changed a lot over the years, and I don't think all the changes were for the better. Perhaps the institutions were finding it easier to deal. I think jobbers were finding it harder to make a living. One thing I must say, job satisfaction had deteriorated enormously. It was not the same sort of place to work. A lot of the standards, a lot of the etiquette had disappeared over the years, which was sad, but perhaps was inevitable.
What do you mean by that?
Progress in this progress is two ways to get to the stage where more business was being transacted. The pressures had broken down barriers, and a lot of the day-to-day, the gentlemen dealing with each other, a lot of the practices had gone by the wayside.
What would you say had been the strengths of the jobbing system?
The strength of the jobbing system. The single capacity, under single capacity, I think the strength of the jobbing system was the number of firms in opposition to each other, and you're all prepared to go to your particular limits to provide a market in the shares in which you were dealing, which served the purpose at that time. I think it was a very good system.
Would you say it had any weaknesses?
Yes, obviously it must have had its weaknesses. People may well feel now that some of the methods employed to, if you like, make profits were wrong, although I would perhaps argue against that. I don't know what its weaknesses were, really. Difficult to just. I think the way the system was changing, I think the weakness was the breakdown in the standards of dealing and behaviour, particularly by the brokers. The ethics had changed to the extent whereas a firm which was known as the market in a particular stock or sector wasn't necessarily seeing the business that it should have done by right, because broker dealers were dealing with their friends around the corner, perhaps giving them the business that they shouldn't by right have been seeing, and this led to a general deterioration of the system.
Mm. Without necessarily going into names, are there any particular experiences or cases that you can recall, either when you felt that you'd lost out as a firm or that had become known to you?
Oh, definitely, yes. You would know which broker dealers were friends with which particular jobber oppositions you had, but there's nothing you could do about it. You could row, and you could try and, you know, having tried to sort of draw the business to yourself by your commercial quotation or whatever, and if you lost out, you could have a moan at the broker. He would then say to you, "Oh well, I went to him first, or he was more commercial than you." You had no way of proving or disproving what he's saying. You just had to accept it. Mm. And this gradually increased, I think, in later years. I think this was basically the standards of the dealers that brokers or that even jobbers were employing in those in latter times.
What would you say in your experience were the qualities needed to be a jobber?
Tough, obviously a good head for figures, good to work under pressure, ability to communicate easily and get on well with people, a lot of general knowledge, have a good feeling for things, and an acute awareness of his surroundings and what's going on, patience.
What kind of situations would you require patience?
If you had a particular position, you may well be a bear, and you know full well that it will be right to be a bear, because you have your feeling that, you know, there's some bad news coming, or the share price has gone unsustainably high. You had to be patient to keep that position open over perhaps a long period of time, and not to be tempted to close it for a minimal profit. You know, you would get a rather larger profit if you ran that position for a much longer period, but there's always the temptation to lock in a profit and start again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's a general, above all, a general hungerness and a need to make money and succeed in what you're doing.
Did you see it as making money for the firm or making money for yourself, or were they both inextricably bound up?
No, they weren't inextricably bound up. I always felt I was making money for the firm, and if you did well, then the firm would look after you at the end of the day. Mm. That was my belief. I mean, if you felt you were just making money for yourself, oh yes, that's going to benefit my commission at the end of the year, I think you had the wrong approach.
Mm. How did you feel about your career as a jobber up to 86? Did you feel
it had been a successful one, and it had been a worthwhile one for me financially, although I didn't particularly like the way the stock exchange was going. I think the majority of the members perhaps were against the proposals that came from the Parkinson-Goodison Pact for Big Bang, but we had little alternative. It obviously had been decided not to go to court or to try and keep the thing out of the courts, and the only way we could do that was to accept what Goodison had cooked up. Mm. So I just didn't like the way things were going, but you had to bow to the inevitable. One thing you had to be as a jobber, you had to be flexible and adaptable and go with change. Mm. You couldn't resist change. You might not like it, but you had to go with it.
Mm. Any memories of the last days trading on the floor of the house?
Well, we as a firm stayed on the floor after Big Bang for a while, but no, it was sad. I mean, it was becoming a bit like a ghost town. There was a lot of the stock exchange, in its wisdom, had spent a lot of money putting up a lot of screens, etc., which people were only using for a short period of time, or some were not used at all. No, becoming a bit like a ghost town. Quite sad, really.
Well, What's a rather low note to finish on, but I think we'll finish at that point. Thank you very much.